Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Hacking Your Leadership and leave us a review on iTunes. Also, check out our YouTube and Patreon pages. The links are in the podcast description. Today, I want to talk about bosses spying on employees who are working from home.
Ooh, this sounds juicy.
It is juicy. So if you don't know who Dan Price is, he is the CEO who raised his minimum salary of his employees to $70,000 a year about 6 years ago. And he has become sort of like an internet hero to entry-level employees and to workers who don't like the growing wealth gap that exists in America and who believe that employers can do more than what they're doing in order to, you know, increase the amount of employees they have who are thriving and not just, you know, getting by or making ends meet. And he's made kind of a cult following for himself because of it. One of the things that he does on LinkedIn is he calls out certain practices that happen. And a few days ago, he called out this practice of spying on employees. And he said that there are a lot of companies out there who are installing software that use the webcam in order to take a snapshot every few minutes of whatever's in front of the screen to make sure that employees who are working from home are being productive and his words, not goofing off. But this is a really interesting topic because I think there's a lot of talk around privacy in general as big tech kind of decides where its role is or isn't in the fight for or against data and information and privacy. People don't inherently like the idea of being spied on, no matter who it's by, but they will also bring, you know, microphones into their home that they can talk to add things to their grocery list, and they think that isn't spying also. Really what it comes down to is people are okay with being spied on if it's on their terms and if they have allowed it to happen, but they don't want it to happen when they don't want it to happen, right? So it's a little bit of a conundrum here. But a new report from the Washington Post came out 2 days ago that said that 60% of companies actually perform this in practice, some type of ability or way to determine whether or not a work-from-home employee is actually being productive or not. And that number actually was surprising to me. I thought it was a lot lower than that.
Yeah, well, I think it's we've talked about a lot just around the work-from-home thing and then, like, what's the trust level look like and all the types of things that come along with, like, if you have people working from home, do you trust them to get work done? And if they are meeting the deadline of the expectation you gave them, then who really cares? You know what I mean? Like, who cares if, you know, halfway through the work they're getting done, they decide they want to play Tetris for 15 minutes. Like, yeah, technically, they shouldn't be playing games while they're at work, but if they're getting their work done and it's to expectation or better, and this is kind of like their at-home little break that they take from time to time to kind of to reset, like, that doesn't really matter. So I think that there's a lot to unpack there. It does not surprise me one bit that 60%, I believe the number would be higher, of companies, especially with an intentional, like, workforce work from home. Like, if you work from home, you typically are provided the computer. It's managed by the organization. It has, you know, software in it and systems and things like that that are really for your eyes only. And the work that you do at home, it's just like clocking in at work. When I physically see you at work, I know that you're here. Now, I can assume that you're being productive and that you're at your desk and that you are working and not playing Tetris. But at home, I'm not surprised one bit that organizations would have softwares or systems or the ability to understand what are you doing on the computer and are you in the appropriate systems and are you doing the work itself and are you not, you know, surfing the internet, searching or, you know, shopping on Amazon or something when you should be working. That doesn't surprise me whatsoever. The picture video thing, that's a little bit weird, unless, of course, you have a role or a job where you understand that this is a part of the role or the job, where you're working on things that are highly confidential, where the expectation is that you are engaged in the hours that you are clocked in and that maybe your job has to do with paying attention to what's on the screen and making an adjustment. I don't know. So I just think that if there's going to be, I'm not surprised by there being the tracking of productivity. I think if there's going to be anything, like, I think all of it should be transparent and upfront. Here's exactly what we do. Here's exactly what we track. Here's exactly what we do and we don't do. And then here's what these reports, here's an example of what these reports even look like when we're checking your productivity. That way you give everybody the answers to the test up front. And if somebody chooses not to be productive or to not do what they should be doing, they at least know that they're doing that and that there could be, you know, responsibility or accountability for it.
I like that idea of the transparency around it, because at the end of the day, if you want to make people inherently assume negative intent, the quickest way to do that is to be less than transparent, right? Is to say the first time you understand that there was this software to begin with was when you're written up for being not productive. And it's like, wait a minute here, and should you have assumed? I don't know. Who cares? The point is, be transparent, of course. If you're a leader and this is part of your company, every person who reports to you needs to know the ins and outs of what's going on with this. I'm reminded of that scene in Office Space where Peter is sitting with the Bobs trying to describe to him what his day looks like. And he says that after lunch, he kind of sits and zones out at his desk for an hour. And they interrupt him and say, what do you mean zone out? And he says, well, I just stare at my computer, but it looks like I'm working. And that's what I think about here, because, you know, it's if the definition of productivity is I'm sitting at my computer, then that's a very that's a very inaccurate definition of productivity, because I know a lot of people, myself included, who have sat at a computer for hours when I should have been productive and I was not being productive. It happens. And so just sitting there is obviously a bad example of it. And so when you don't have the ability to see a person sitting there because they're not at the office anymore, the inclination could be, well, we got to make sure in other ways. I think a lot of this software is not nefarious from the standpoint of, you know, they didn't go out and hire a workforce of people. Like for every person working from home, you have a counterpart who sits at the office watching you work from home to make sure that you're being productive. Because then who watches that person, right? Like I think where it comes down to is it's validation after the fact if there's an issue. And so if all the work is being done and it's being turned in on time and the expectation of the results are being fulfilled, I don't think a lot of the results of this software actually even gets looked at. I think it's more along the lines of, well, this person is not doing the work like we think they should be doing. The what's being turned in, so to speak, the deadlines are not being met. So now we have to go back and validate. Almost like, you know, if you have a retail store and you have cameras that are going to make sure that, you know, that no one's stealing money from the register, there's no one sitting there watching to make sure no one is stealing money from the register. What happens is you go about your day, and if all of a sudden money becomes missing from the register, then will you go back and look at the camera? But no one's watching it to happen to begin with. And so I think this is where a lot of the kind of like the bad feelings come into play here, is employees think that there's literally somebody sitting there watching them at home through their webcam. And I'm not saying that the way that I'm describing is much better. The fact that they can in retrospect or after the fact, they can go do that. That shouldn't be happening unless you know that can be happening up front. But if you are a company and you don't have visibility to an employee, and they are not doing the work like you think they should be doing, meaning their deadlines are not being met and their work from home, suddenly work from home because of something that is pandemic related, there has to be a way to be able to hold people accountable and to help them exit their role or exit the organization if they are not being productive, in order to make room for other people who are. Work from home is not necessarily the best way to go for some people. There's no blanket statement here. Some people are thriving in a work from home environment, and some people are really not thriving in a work from home environment. They need to be in an office. And I think if you're going to have a situation where people are kind of being taken out of their element and doing doing something different than they would normally do, you have to have some way to be able to track this.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And, you know, really, when you think about just leadership and being a leader of people, I think it's imperative to have the level of dialogue around productivity expectations, around what are the things that we do, how do we look at that, how do we measure success, but also how do we make sure that people are getting their work done. If you are one of those companies that utilizes cameras and things like that, like, you should know that, your people should know that, And that way it's an agreement ahead of time of what you're doing and why you're doing it and why it's of importance. And that way, as long as you are discussing it up front, then any action after that, it's not about surprising somebody, haha, we caught you. It's about asking questions to understand and saying, well, like, well, here's what the data says, or here's what the report says, or, you know, talk to me about last Thursday when there was a 3-hour gap in a system that you were supposed to be logged in to doing work on, and instead you weren't, but you were saying that you were working. Like, let's talk about that. Like, what happened there? And what was the situation? But then that way, again, it's not a surprise. So I just think from a leadership standpoint, the transparency piece is so important to make sure that you're covering what exactly that looks like and even potentially providing them with examples.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, if you do have a computer and you are working from home, everybody knows to, like, you know, put something over the webcam to cover the camera. But a lot of people don't know that you should plug a little headphone adapter into the microphone headphone jack on the side of it, because that will disable the internal microphone because it thinks you're plugging in an external microphone. So if you want to make sure no one's listening, just like no one's watching, that's the best way to do that.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.